We had a visitor in our church a few months ago or sometime back. They went home to be in their own, where they live, in their own church. And their pastor asked them about their time at our church. And guess what she said?
What?
Her favorite part of the service was when you read the scripture.
Aww.
And yeah, that's really true. And her pastor made it a point to say that to me. So I'm going to ask you if you would read again. It's good to be in God's house today, amen? Good to be with God's family today, amen? Good to be with you. We're going to be reading today from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Liz, whenever you're ready. Luke, chapter 2, 25 through 35.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Welcome.
I'll be right back. I've got some good news and bad news. Jesus has come. This is the good news, and this is the bad news. How could it not be anything but good news? Let me show you a picture. All right, tell me, what do you see in this picture? Anybody? You see Jesus. Now, there's a spiritual woman right there. That's always the right answer. Anybody else, what do you see? Sorry? Somebody sees the Eiffel Tower. Good. Somebody else? Praying hands. Okay. Another spiritual man. Sorry. I didn't hear it. A Siamese cat dressed up as Santa. We have some mental illness manifesting in the house now. Last call for one or two more. Sorry. It's at the beach, okay. All right, you get the idea. By the way, a lot of responses for this particular picture is people see a crab. And we see a crab, lobsters, blue spiders, rabbit head, worms, snakes, caterpillars. What I've done is I've shown you a picture of what's called a Rorschach inkblot test. And it's not a test that has a lot of validity anymore. But back in the old day, the theory was this. There are enough lines and spaces to make you think there's something there, but it's your unconscious that fills in the blanks and kind of completes the picture. So if you're seeing demons and devils, it might make the psychologist wonder, what's going on inside their head or inside their heart. But if, like Madison, you see Jesus, Pastor, she's in good shape. Now, let me show you another picture. Now tell me, what do you see? An angel? Sorry? Johanna, so you're identifying the person. What else do you see in the features, in the eyes? Joy, I see that. Sorry? Child of the King, okay. She looks, you see expectation in her eyes, do you? Sorry? Doesn't she look just safe? She looks utterly relaxed. Sorry? Life, right. A miracle, okay. Now, what does it evoke in you toward her? You feel love? Anything else? Yeah, somebody just said what I feel. I want to pick her up. I want to hold her. It's just that image has that effect on you. And by the way, one thing that makes me particularly happy about this particular picture is this is her passport photo to come see Grandma and Grandpa. That's a true story. So you know what I see. Now let me add to this picture some information that nobody in this room knows yet, but I'm going to announce right now. Glenda and I have decided on our own, without consulting with the elders, that when she turns 12, she's going to be our new worship leader. Hey, what? What? You just pulled up, man. Okay. Well, not only did that, we made another decision that when she turns 18, she is the new lead pastor. Hey, huh? So now all of a sudden we see one picture. How come what? Mama's eyes? She's got her mama's eyes? Okay, you know her mama, don't you? So now we see that there can be a picture as beautiful as this, and yet some other people could say, now she's a threat to my position as worship leader. Or to the position as pastor that Liz was interested in. Most wouldn't expect mixed feelings about a baby like this, but let's be honest in our day. It's easy to have mixed feelings about the announcement that a baby's on the way with significant consequences. There we go, my technology there. It matters what you see when you see a baby. It matters what you see when you see Jesus. I'm only going to take a few minutes today because of the children's program, but I do want to tell you a bit of a story, a bit of the Christmas story, about an old man named Simeon. To tell the story, I'm going to read the verses that apply to this part of the story. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. By the way, it is useful for you to be able to see reality if you have the help of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we're likely to think Jesus is only a good man or a remarkable teacher or something like that. But with the Holy Spirit, you can be given eyes to see what's really true about this Jesus. Simeon had the Holy Spirit on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Again, the Holy Spirit helping him know his life. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Jesus was about to be circumcised. Simeon had the same feeling that some of you had. Oh, I want to hold him. I want to have him close. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." In other words, I can die now. All that I've ever wanted, all that I've ever looked for, all that my life's ever been about for decades and decades, I now hold in my arms. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. This baby is no threat to Simeon. This baby is salvation to Simeon, and he knows it because the Holy Spirit is helping him. And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against." In other words, this child, Jesus, to this day, he's a Rorschach test. Some people see Jesus and see the salvation of the world. Some people see Jesus and there's the one who forgave me. There's the one who called me lovely when I thought I was so unlovable. And there are others who say he's one more competing religious interest in a world of competing religious interests. Jesus is a Rorschach. In fact, it says here, it says so right here in Luke chapter 2, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword, he's talking to Mary, will pierce your own soul also. What he's saying about Mary is, one day this child whom you love so much, who has all of these warm, fuzzy feelings that you have about him right now, one day he's going to be hanging on a cross and you're going to see it and it's going to be like a sword in your own soul. But Simeon is basically saying that Jesus is going to do then, and to this day still does, he's going to do what a Rorschach test was designed to do. He's going to reveal what's in our hearts. For example, also from the Bible, the story of a king named Herod. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." So you know what's in their heart. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And there's this disturbing, by the way, is good and bad. Hey, Messiah's here. Some are excited. Others, Messiah's here. That could upset our system. Everybody says Messiah's here. Yeah, somebody came up by 10 years ago, and he announced himself as the Messiah. We know where that went. All Jerusalem was getting disturbed. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where was the Messiah to be born?" They answered, "In Bethlehem, in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, sneaky guy that he is, called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child." Now, everything on the surface so far looks like Herod's interested. I'm gonna see this king myself. He's got devious things going on in his mind and heart. Herod said, "As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Liar. When he sees this baby, he sees something other than what we saw when we just saw a picture of a baby. And after the Magi had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Finally, we found him. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. What was in Herod's heart? When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search the child to kill him." Jesus wasn't cute to Herod. Somebody announced him as king. "I'm king. I've got kids that are going to come after me, and they're going to be king, and their kids are going to be king. And that's just the way it is." And Herod's going to figure out how to kill this king. Jesus also had his heart revealed by what he saw. Jesus could look at somebody's life and see various lines forming a particular shape, but lots of blanks, and he could complete the picture. For example, there was a day when he saw a lone woman, probably a lonely woman, going for water in the middle of the day, which was against the custom for women of those days because they usually all traveled together and chit-chatted and helped each other with getting the water out of the well. But not this woman. She was too ashamed to be in a crowd. Didn't like the way she was treated by others because she was an adulteress. She'd been married 5 times and was living with somebody else at the time. And Jesus saw her. And his eyes and his heart completed the picture. And he called her a name. He called her thirsty. What do you see, Jesus, when you see the woman at the well? "I see a thirsty woman who has spent so much of her life trying to find the right water to drink and has always drunk from a poisonous well." And he announced good news to her. hey, living water is present today. And he introduced her to himself and saved her. I could do lots of stories about Jesus. I'll mention at least one more. One day he saw this short tax collector up in a tree. Most people, when they saw that short tax collector, saw a thief and a cheat and an extorter. Jesus saw those realities about him. He knew he'd been dishonest, but he had a different way of completing the picture because of what it was in his heart about Zacchaeus. He saw a lunch companion. He saw a future disciple. And Jesus said, I'm going to your house today. And Zacchaeus and his whole house was saved on that particular day. I've got good news, and I've got bad news. Jesus sees you, and you can see him too. And whether that news is good or whether that news is bad is up to what's in your heart today. And what is in your heart today can be different later today as you look at him again, as you consider him again from a new angle. Let me mention what I think is very good news. Jesus sees me. Jesus sees all of us, and he calls us beloved. And he invites us to be a community of people learning to live and love after the pattern of Jesus. In other words, able to walk around and see people sort of like Rorschachs, but filling in the blanks with beloved, filling in the blanks with thirsty, filling in the blanks with needing and hoping, and responding with the heart and love of Jesus. To love. What do you see in this picture? I'm going to have fun with this one for just a moment. There's the manger scene. Can you see that? It's in his beard. Look over here. There's Jesus hanging on a cross. If you want to leave it up later for anybody who wants to come up to see this. This is a famous picture of a friend of mine, Joe Castillo. You might have seen him on America's Got Talent, but he makes the face of Jesus with all these other pictures in it. But you can see all the life of Jesus. You guys are paying attention. I'm going to go. There's Jesus feeding the 5,000. There's angels appearing to the shepherds. There's the resurrection morning, and so on and so forth. Look closely enough at each other. Look closely enough at yourself. And you can find the story of Jesus emerging. I wonder if you'd bow your heads with me, please. Father, I want to thank you for your presence in the room today. I want to thank you for the joy we had of worshiping you together. I want to thank you for the story of Advent and the story of God coming as a man that we especially remember this time of year. Now I pray for every heart and mind in this room. I pray for those who look in the mirror and say it's bad news. I ask in Jesus' name an encounter with your spirit right now where they can hear your voice declaring forgiveness and mercy and acceptance and desire. And they can look in the same mirror and see the good news. I pray for anyone in this room filled with shame. I ask in Jesus' name that if they're hiding like the woman at the well who just wanted to be alone and not be noticed and left to their own corner, I ask that like Zacchaeus, you'll just call them out of the tree and call them out of the corner and say, I'm going home with you today. And that over lunch and throughout the rest of the week, riding in our car or whenever and wherever, we will feel your presence and we will hear your voice. And we'll believe and trust the good news. I ask faith for everyone in this room to believe the good news. I ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.